Welcome to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. Hello, it's me, I'm Megan Nash, and this is the podcast where I call up friends and we talk about touring and how much we miss it. And we talk about the snacks that we associate with touring. And we talk about what we hope and think it's going to be like when we're allowed to safely tour once again. Today's guest is Kaylee Cardinal, and I'm so excited that she could be a guest. I met Kaylee briefly backstage at the Regina Folk Fest in 2019, and ever since then I've wanted a chance to hang out with her more because I knew I wanted to be her friend. I knew I wanted to ask her if we could get matching tattoos. I knew I wanted to ask her about her sweet little dog, Daisy. And you know, folks, a podcast is a great excuse to do those things. So I'm very happy that she is a guest. She has been nominated for and has won many awards for her music, including a Juno. So let's get right to it, folks. Today's guest is Kaylee Cardinal. Kaylee Cardinal, I'm so pleased. I'm so happy. I'm so excited. I'm actually kind of nervous because I'm so excited to talk to you today. Thank you so much for agreeing to be a guest on my podcast.
Thanks for asking me to be a guest on your podcast. It's a social experience that I don't really have very often, both social experiences and also being on podcasts. So it's great.
Well, you know, I feel like a lot of folks, they listen to this podcast because I ask the hard hitting questions. So let's get to it. Your puppy, Daisy, what's going on with that belly?
Okay. Yeah. Daisy's 12 years old.
She is so sweet.
She's a little old lady who I think I'm starting to spoil a little bit too much. And I think that's why she has that big old belly.
She's so cute. Every time you hold her up in a picture though, and you can see your little belly, I for the listeners, you can't see me right now, but I'm like just holding my hands up and shaking them around my head because I don't even know how to put words into how adorable this sweet, sweet little pup is. And she doesn't have a lot of fur on her little belly. And I think that's why it's just so adorable.
Yeah, people think that she's like a teddy bear. They often don't think that she's real when they see her in pictures, but she's losing her hair. So from her like waist from her belly and sort of mid back body, she's losing her hair. And so she's almost completely bald at her butt. And it's so funny, but it really highlights her belly more, the fact that there's nothing covering it, you know?
She is so sweet. And I feel like, maybe this is going to come off as a bit of like a humble brag. I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way, but I feel like I love my dog a lot, and I know a lot of people love their dogs a lot, but I feel like there are some folks that really throw down dog love, and when I see you and Daisy, I go, oh, that connection, like they get it. And I feel like you know, like there are so many different kinds of soulmates you can have in a life, and when you can find that with an animal, that's so special.
You're actually making me tear up right now.
I'm sorry, amazing. But it's
it's so true. When I was a kid, we always had animals. When I was growing up, we had a number of dogs because I lived on an acreage. So we kind of had, you know, just a constant swinging door of pets that came through. And I've always felt a connection with dogs, always. And Daisy entered my life in 2017, shortly before I went through a pretty like rough breakup. And then my son in 2017 ended up moving in with my mother. I don't know if you know that I have a son. Maybe you do, but he ended up, yeah, sorry. he moved in with my mother because I started touring a lot. And at the time he was, he would have been 13, and being a single mom, I wouldn't be able to tour and also take care of my, you know, 13-year-old child. So we decided as a family that he was going to live with her. And when, so Daisy lived with me when he went and lived with my mom. And then when I would go away to tour, Daisy would go and stay at my mom's place. So Kaylin couldn't be uprooted the same way that Daisy can kind of go back and forth. So I feel like in a way there was this hole when Kaylin had to go live with my mom, and Daisy just came in and cuddled me and made me feel better about it, you know?
Oh, wow. So Daisy was how old then when Daisy came into your life?
I think 7.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. My dog Shiloh came to me when he was, they think around 10. So, and he's now, I guess, close to 12 or 13. I don't know. I've heard different numbers from different folks that have known him over the years, but there's something so special too about, and also kind of heartbreaking about finding that kind of connection with the pet that's older. Because I can't, sometimes I don't know how to explain this. I feel like I can't imagine, I'm like, what was your life like without me?
I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
One time I remember laying in bed with Daisy. I probably had like a couple glasses of wine, probably. And I was like, what was your life before me, Daisy? And I felt like we were communicating. I wanted to know everything. It was so funny. But yeah, I think about that. Like, what, you know, who are you? And I just know you for this stage of your life, but I've always loved older dogs, and they're so like calm and wise in a way. And I've always wanted to like have an acreage again and then be able to bring older dogs to come and stay with me. It would just be that's like my dream.
Oh wow.
And just like come and live on this acreage and we like share this time of their life together.
I love that so much. I actually got goosebumps when you said that, and I kept thinking, please invite me to stay. Like,
start a commune. And
and when I'm coming through a tour, please can I stay at this wonderful place? Because there's nothing like dog therapy while on the road too, you know, if you're able to connect with an animal, especially when you're on that tour, and just having that grounding time with an animal can just be so special. Have you toured with Daisy? Like, have you taken her to shows or festivals or anything?
No, I haven't. I've always taken her to my mom's. Yeah. Daisy doesn't love traveling.
Yeah.
My mom lives about a 40-minute drive from where I live in downtown Edmonton. And even that drive, she's not super settled the whole time. I've created the best possible circumstances I can for her to make that drive. But yeah, she doesn't enjoy it. And as I've been thinking about her, because she definitely is an emotional support animal for me. And I was considering registering her, but then I thought it's actually going to be harder on her to take her everywhere I go than it would benefit me. So it kind of, I don't know. Yeah, I've just let her do her own thing.
I've felt that too. The thing with Shiloh is he loves being in a vehicle. He really, really enjoys it. He's such a good road dog. But then there's been certain times where I've taken him to things and I thought, is this fair for him? Like there's a couple festivals I've taken him to where I thought, okay, this is too much for him, because he grew up, I'm pretty sure, on a farm or in a small town that's not too far from here. So he's had a pretty calm life, and I've taken him to a lot of cities. Like he's been to, you know, Saskatoon or Regina and Moose Jaw, like there's still smaller centers, but I have to keep that in mind too, because I love having him places, but like is this festival good for him? Is this, oh, one time I was playing a gig, it was like a street fair, and my friend Kelsey, who is also like really great with Shiloh, she was also working merch, and Shiloh was at that gig with me because the venue was like, yeah, that's cool. You can have him in the green room. And then, we were playing outdoors, but he started to get basically the merch table was set up across from the stage, and like the audience was in the middle. So it was at the back of this space, and Shiloh was getting quite restless because he could hear my voice, but he couldn't see me. And then Kelsey, this story just warms my heart so much. Kelsey was like trying to get him to calm down. You know, he kept like barking during the show. And then she picked him up to hold him. And then he looked at the stage, looked back at Kelsey, gave her a big lick on the face, and then looked back at the stage and was just like calm watching the show.
That is so sweet.
So sweet. Oh, so that sweet. Yeah.
they're just angels that are in our lives, you know, these creatures that like give us companionship and comfort. Ugh, just love dogs.
I know. And I really appreciate what you say too about mature dogs and really loving older dogs, because I feel that a lot too, you know. Like, there is this part of me that like so wishes I had had more time with Shiloh, but that just wouldn't he came to me in a very strange way. Like, I did not consciously go get Shiloh. A neighbor brought him to my house and was like, this little dog needs a place to live. And my partner at the time and I, we were kind of debating getting a dog, because mainly for him, because I was on tour so much. And if it really wasn't for my ex, I wouldn't have Shiloh, because I don't think a neighbor would have thought to drop a dog off with me because I tour so much.
Right.
And then what ended up happening is I got this really great bonding and really, yeah, really fell in love with this pup. I like to think it's mutual, you know, but whatever. And then my ex and I split up. And I kept the dog, I kept Shiloh, and my parents have been a huge support. Like, that's when in the old life, when I was touring, that's where Shiloh would go. And he actually has a really cool connection with my dad too. He sleeps with my dad whenever I'm on tour. I will say this though, I went on tour to Europe in April of 2019, and when I came back, I really had to rebuild with Shiloh, and that was hard, because that was about 5 weeks I was gone.
Oh wow.
And it wasn't the same. Like, we had to rebuild a little bit, and that broke my heart a little bit, but it was my fault. But also, like, I hate leaving him places, because I'll be like, buddy, I'll be back, I promise. I wish I could tell you this in a way you knew, you know.
I know,
breaks my heart.
No, I wish she could speak human so you would understand. Yeah, Daisy she's froze me out a couple of times when I was gone for like max a couple of weeks. She just kind of ignores me at first, just to teach me a little bit of a lesson. but then she warms up to me pretty quickly. Aww. But I've never been gone for that long. I think we have very different touring experiences too, because I was raising a child on my own for like, he's 17 now.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to tour for extended lengths of time. So my career's, it's followed a completely different path than like the regular or standard looking path. So I don't think I've toured anywhere near as much as you have.
So then do you feel like your touring was more like, cause you were mentioning that, you know, you were touring a lot. So what did that look like for you then when you were? Right, you like,
showcasing. Yeah, it's more, and like I've done like just in the past few years, I've done more like international showcasing, or I think I went when we played Reaper Bon, which we were both at the same one.
Were we? Right? Were we at the same one? Which year did you go? I went 2017.
I went 2019.
Ah, okay.
I thought you were, okay. It wasn't, maybe it was Gunnar and Smith. I'm thinking like there was like just a whole crew of people that I think that you play with too, who would have been there. I can't remember who, maybe not, but anyways, sorry.
Actually, you know, maybe what's happening is I feel like maybe Scotch and Water, a band from Hamburg, maybe they played when they got back from tour, because they came over to Canada and toured with me, and then they went back to Hamburg for Reaper Bon. And so maybe they were playing. Or no, Darnell, one of my good pals and confidant and guitar player, he was over in Reaper Bon. Who was he playing with? Maybe he was playing with Gunnar and Smith. Yeah. Okay, there we go. Yeah. There we go.
Okay, that's what happened. And also, everything is like one big thing to me right now. So I'm probably thinking about, you know, Folk Alliance and other showcases. But that's been more of my touring experience. It's like just going And it's actually, I'm so spoiled because we went to Germany. I went to Berlin first. I went to Berlin first, and we showcased once, and I was there for like 3 or 4 days. And so I just got to explore and like enjoy my time. And then we went to Hamburg, and we were there for like almost a week, I think. And we played Reeperbahn once, and like we were there for it's so long. So I've just been like, I haven't had to really grind it out on tour. But I am constantly, especially when I'm in Canada or like when I'm here, I'm constantly working, but it's just in like different ways. So I'm still like trying to build up. I was supposed to do a 1 month European tour in 2020, and then it was rebooked to this year. And I was so scared because I would be away for, it was going to be 28 dates in 30 days in Europe. And I was so concerned that I wouldn't be able to sing at all. And I would lose my voice at some point because traveling is hard on me, especially when I act spoiled and have as much fun as I can the whole time I'm there. It's not so good on the voice.
Well, I think there's something to be said too about like, you're a great singer. Like you have a great voice, and like that's, when you're traveling, like I feel like with your vocal styling, like that, yeah, like you really gotta take care of your voice. What are your tips for taking care of your voice then?
Yeah, and that's it. First of all, thank you. That's so nice of you to say.
Well, it's just the truth.
But yeah, I actually started taking vocal lessons about, I want to say it's probably like a year and a half ago now, to prep for this tour, but also because I had never taken any sort of vocal training before. I'd sang in choirs when I was growing up and in high school, but that was it. So I have a lot of bad habits. I actually got nodules back in 2016, and I had to take almost a year off of singing. And that was super rough. So these interesting setbacks I've had in my life that have just kind of like led me to this point, which is great. I'm very happy about where I am. But like this, it's really helped me develop, proper technique. I've learned a lot about how the relationship of like emotion to your voice and how important it is to recognize that, and how like physically, like I have to remember that my body is my instrument and I have to take care of my instrument. And I am very good at not taking care of myself, but if I can put it in that perspective of like, this is the instrument, this is the thing, you know, this is all connected. It's not only been like really good for me technique wise, it's really made me more connected to my body and more comfortable with that connection. And like, and it's made me a more empowered person physically. Mm. So I think that like taking voice lessons was huge for me. But some of the main things that I've gotten from that is that I travel with humidifiers now because everywhere is so dry. I have a nebulizer that I use to kind of steam my vocals. I have a whole tool belt full of different vocal exercises that I can do. Ones for when I'm feeling like maybe tense, or ones if I'm like missing notes, I can kind of release that. And basically I've learned that I have to, you know, shut down the party. I have to sleep. I have to take care of myself. I need to do cardio so that I can keep that sort of strength in my lungs. So it's just, yeah, it's just really a lot of taking care of myself with a few extra little things that I've picked up.
I feel like one of the hardest things to do, especially, it can be such a vicious cycle sometimes, because like I definitely, like I grew up going to, did you grow up going to a lot of like, you know, Bonanza, the restaurant? There was one in Moose Jaw, and that was like, that was a place that my family and I would frequent, and that was like the fancy, like, we're going out for supper, kids, and we'd go to Bonanza, and I remember just like that buffet mentality of like, I want to get my money's worth, and I'm still like, with, you know, with the ride or whatever, like taking stuff with me, you know, it's mine to take, I'm not stealing, you know, but I want to take the stuff, you know. Hotels, like I so many mini soaps, why? But anyways, I find that if we're getting drink tickets and that's a part of the payment, and it can be so hard to say, okay, I can't redeem this drink ticket, like I can't do it, because I feel like if I have a few drinks and then I start doing the loud bar talk, That's what's gonna kill my voice. It's not even the two or three sets that I sang. It's that loud bar talking, and then I won't have a voice the next day. So I have to really be careful with that.
Yeah, and I completely understand that whole mentality that you are speaking of. Okay, like we grew up, my family, we went to church, and then after church we would go to Bonanza, which eventually became Mama Panda's in Grand Prairie. And I had a family that my family was also constantly changing. We fostered children when I was growing up. I always had cousins that would come and live with me, but for the most part I was always the oldest, and maximum of sometimes 13 children, and then sometimes the minimum was, there was six of us, and I only have one biological brother.
Oh, wow.
Which is wild, but so it was we had a big family, so when we went to buffets, or even like when we did our Friday shop and got snacks, it was really like a free-for-all, but like, get what you can while you can, because there's only this much time or this much food. And that's a habit that I have been like, I've been really considering lately. One of the habits that I've been considering lately throughout the pandemic, and then also my relationship with alcohol and being able to say no, and like developing agency in that way to be able to like say, no, I can't do this right now, was something that I was starting to get better at. But what would happen afterwards would be like sort of a, as soon as I could, then it would be like, I'd go crazy, you know, and I would have all the alcohol, and then I'd be like sick for a couple of days afterwards. And yeah, so I'm just like, that's a really interesting thing that you have brought up.
You know, something that I really appreciate when venues do this is that they'll allow you to like redeem the drink tickets for food or something like that. Like it's really nice when they have different options too, so you can still feel like you're still, you know, getting your money's worth, that bonanza mentality, but like, yeah, maybe getting a, I wish that more venues had dessert, actually, you know, like if you could have dessert, drink/dessert tickets, I think I'm onto something there.
I mean, I relate to that, but I would rather something salty. If they could just like put out bags and bags of potato chips, then I'd be happy. But that's what the rider is for, right?
Okay, so it's either, a drink ticket, chips ticket, dessert ticket. I love sweet. I love salty. What is your favorite are chips your favorite go-to tour snack?
I have said before that I wish that I could be hypnotized to not be addicted to chips anymore, because they're just like they feel like cigarettes in a way, like when I used to smoke cigarettes. They're just like, I can't stop myself. I love chips. It's like, that's usually my go-to snack. And then for me, it's just like, okay, how can I do this in a balanced way? And I've managed to do that for the most part too. So it's an interesting thing. And I think that has a lot to do with my childhood, because chips was, there'd be like one bag and there'd be like 13 kids, you know? So it's like, how much of this can I have? Yeah. And now when I'm an adult, it's like, I can have all of it if I want.
You know, for my partner's birthday, this was back a few months ago when the restrictions allowed us to still have like a bubble. So we went to our friend's place and there was the four of us. And we like just mentioning like, you know, you're an adult now and you can have these chips. Oh, we partied like how, like we had, was it Skittles or M&Ms or some kind of candy? And then we had pizza and then we had eggnog and then we had cheese puffs and then we had cake. and we were like, we're starting not to feel well. And I thought, you know, this is how you dream. This is what, like when you're a kid, you dream, like that's what adulthood is like. You can have, you know,
yeah,
all the fun food all in one go. And so we just had to laugh that we were like partying, like how like 7-year-olds dream of partying. And we could do it now.
It feels like such a perfectly, you know, a great balance with like, you know, salt, sweet, and a little bit of greasy, and then the cake at the end. That sounds like such a perfect meal. I love it.
it was a really good birthday party. And yeah, you're right. It was, yeah, the sweet salt, yeah. Sweet salt. That's my favorite way to party. The sweet salt, you just keep them coming. You just keep them going.
Yeah. Yeah. My all-time favorite is kettle chips, that kettle salt and black pepper with hell of a good dip.
Nice.
That's
what flavor is the hell of a good dip?
French onion.
The French onion. Okay, you heard it here, folks. You got to try out that combo.
Oh, it's perfect.
Hey there, you're listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. And today's guest is Kaylee Cardinal.
I feel like you fairly, like, it seems seamlessly from like the outside perspective, went from the old world of showcasing and physically going to places to showcase. You then we're doing these like showcase and festival digital events, and your production of these videos, what I've been able to see, has been so good. Like just like so professional, so well done. Tell me your secrets. I just think you've been like, it's been really amazing to watch you like still work at such like so professionally at that level, because I feel like a lot of folks, I'm saying about myself, I don't have the, like, I'm not set up for this new world yet. And I just like my hat goes off to you.
Yeah, well, I think when everything shut down, I was actually like sitting in a hotel in Saskatoon waiting for the Juniors to start.
Right.
And I had just flown in from Germany because I was playing a festival there, and I was exhausted and I was anxious about the whole award ceremony because I am pretty introverted and not, you know, as comfortable in front of people in that sort of setting as I am kind of like having a stage and being able to just like wholly be myself. So I was anxious, and everything, the Juno shut down and I had to rent a car and go home. And I took some time to rest. And then very quickly, all of these emails started coming in because everything was canceled. People wanted to start doing in live streams. And initially, my first response was no, because I don't feel like it. And then I started to notice that the amount that they wanted to pay me to do those things was really, really low. And so I had to start to take a look at the things like, what does this show have a different currency, or does it have worth for me as a musician in my career right now to take significantly less money than I would usually take to do something and have it sort of put out there But meanwhile, I have to do all of this setup at home. I need to present myself how I usually do, which is like full makeup, hair is done, usually in some kind of sequence or something. And I have to put all this effort into it. Recording means that you're putting in time, you're doing it over and over again until it's perfect, or at least almost perfect. You're talking into a, you know, into video, which means that sometimes you have to stop and start from the beginning and then re-record the song. This is a lengthy process. Am I really going to take less money for doing more work than I usually have to do? And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And I also definitely noticed that a lot of people were posting live videos and the quality wasn't great. It was happening multiple times daily. Like, it was significantly oversaturated. And I just thought, I am not somebody who wants to get lost in a wave of these things. I don't want to have built my career up to this point to have people take me for granted or feel like, you know, that I'm accessible to in that way. Like, I do want to be accessible as a person, as a human being, but when it comes to my career, that's a completely different decision that I have to make. So that was kind of where I came up. I just sort of like decided that I was going to really balance those things and not take less than I was worth and not devalue the time that I would be putting into all of these things. I did a few festivals. Some of them didn't pay super well, but I thought, this is a festival that I was supposed to do this summer. It got canceled. I want to continue that relationship. It has a broad audience. This is important. This is something that I should definitely do. And there were some festival performances that had a bigger budget than others. And then I knew, this is important that I, you know, have full band, and that I have production, because I knew what it looked like when I produce a video on my phone at home. And I also knew that that's what a lot of people's videos were going to look like, and that's okay. But I just quality is so important to me. So often I'd be paying out of the budget that was sort of just designated for the band to have studio or have like a production company, even a small one, do that work for me, because just like, yeah, I just felt like I didn't want to take steps backwards. Mm. I wanted to keep moving forwards. And that is continuing to present myself like best foot forward in the best way possible.
Well, I feel like that's come across, and like, I, as somebody who didn't know your thought process going into this, like I think you've done a really great job doing that, you know, like so it's I think folks are definitely taking notice, and you brought up so many good points. I'm just trying to like think of what to what to ask you more about, because like I love the idea too of you know, you brought up a good point, like the production budget usually isn't taken into consideration. It's like, here's some money to pay the band, but like, where's the production budget? And then, yeah, yeah.
I've started negotiating that into any sort of live festival performances now. I expressed that like, I'm only doing this if I can have it with a production team, and this is the additional cost for that. And that's why this is what I'm presenting to you as my quote for playing the show. And I am in a good position to negotiate this way, and you know, with like these kinds of stipulations, because of the Juno Award, it's given me a little bit more weight to throw around. But I also have always just kind of had high expectations. I have high expectations of myself. And I also know, and I've experienced a lot of situations where I've kind of been undervalued as an artist and offered less money than like the three white dudes that are in the band that's, you know, kind of popular in the area. I've noticed these indiscrepancies in the music industry over the years, and it's basically built me a thicker skin to finally start really asking for what I think I'm worth, and you know, and helping me decide what I will and will not take. And I, it's kind of just like, it's kind of because I've been through the tough stuff that I can get to this place and just absolutely own it and say yes or no based on whether or not someone wants to try to meet my needs as an artist.
I really appreciate you saying all of this so much. And I feel like this is something that a lot of people listening will probably like. I feel like we do have a lot of musicians that listen to this podcast, and myself, I'm just like, I feel so inspired by everything you just said, because when we were first getting into this topic, I said I'm not set up for this new world, and that's been something, a huge barrier for me. And it's like, well, how can there be ways to also to, you know, to safely do it, to employ other people in the arts that also don't have that, you know, as much the usual workflow, and yeah, that's just really inspiring to hear you talk about this. You've been doing a lot of these videos too with your band. Do you do solo gigs anymore, or is you mainly full band stuff?
I do trio at minimum these days, and then full band. I've done like a few, like one time, one song performances with me and piano or me and guitar, but I pretty much don't want to do that at all.
Yeah. I feel like you I feel like as much as like you throw down some like radical dog love, you also throw down some radical friendship love and band love. And I just, I just love that so much. Like that really comes through in your socials and in your work. And I was watching your music video for Song by the Supermoon earlier today, which I highly recommend everybody watch. Especially if you miss touring, because like you're on the road, and it's really well done. And also, like, not only is it just like very beautiful, like it helps me, it helps me right now, because I really miss, like, I used to go to Alberta probably like four times a year. Like I used to go quite a bit, and I just really miss it. I miss traveling. I miss touring. And also just like you throw down some good band love in that video too.
Okay. That was super important to me. I remember asking, it was Dalen Wood who did the music video for me, and I wanted to see all of the B-roll, because like a big part of being able to spend time on the road and being able to feel healthy, comfortable, happy traveling is the people that you surround yourself with. And like, I'm in love with all of these guys. Like, they're just like, they're brothers, you know, they're this amazing friendship that I've developed. And yeah, we really do just become best friends with the people that we play music with, because first of all, you have no choice but to spend all of your time with them. Well, you certainly do have a choice in choosing them, though.
Right.
But I mean, it's been a really beautiful experience, because the two main people are Brennan and Brayden. And Brennan is originally from Peace River, and Brayden is originally from Regina. And it's just the dynamics in the relationship are so interesting, because Brayden is this like, he's this like extroverted, like happy all the time, like sweet, funny dude. And then Brennan is similar, but he's also a little bit more old manish and kind of like, you know, he's very cheeky, and they're both super witty. So it's always like really fun times, but they meet all these different needs in friendship. And the three of us have just become this really weird, but like perfect, trio, this little triangle. It's so funny.
I love that. And I love, sometimes I wish there was a visual component to this podcast, because I wish the listener could see your face when you talk about your band. You just beam. And same with when you talk about Daisy too, you know, like you're just like, yeah, I guessed Brayden's sun sign by his pedal board.
Oh, interesting.
That was, you know what? I used to be really into astrology. I'm not as much actually. I've had to reassess and kind of adapt my relationship to astrology because I think I used to use it in a way that wasn't always healthy for me. But that was a few years ago, and I watched him play down at Folk Alliance in Kansas City, and I was like, "You're Virgo, aren't you?" Because he's just like, I feel like he's got an attention to detail, and like. It comes through
you
in his playing.
His suitcase and his hotel room. You should see it. Just like the shoes are lined up perfectly. Everything is folded. It's like he has his clothes laid out for the next day. Like it is wild.
I love that so much. Okay, so you're a Scorpio.
Yeah.
And Braden's a Virgo, and then Brennan.
Brennan. When I first met Brennan, I was like, "Are you a Pisces?" And I thought that didn't seem like the right fit for me. And he teased me relentlessly for that because he's somebody who couldn't believe less in astrology, but he's a Cancer and I knew he was a water sign.
Yes. 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 I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that Scorpio, Cancer, Virgo trio that you have.
Me too.
That's very sweet. You know, something I've been meaning to ask you actually is I have the water element sign tattooed on my hand, but it's the only element I have on my hand. And a lot of people think it's a wedding tattoo, which it was never. It wasn't. I was briefly married, but it's not a wedding tattoo. And I've always thought I want to get the rest of the elements tattooed on my hand, but then I don't want you to think I'm copying you.
Oh my God. That's so funny. I love that, and you should absolutely do it. And honestly, I love having matching things with people. I love it. My brother recently got a raven tattoo, and I have one on my right forearm. And he was going to get it on his upper arm, and I said, just get it on your forearm. It's fine. Yeah. It's like I had to give him permission because I knew that's where he wanted it. And I love that. I think it's amazing. When I first met an artist who's based out of Toronto now, his name is Wolf Sega. We were both featured on an episode of a radio show called Unreserved. And we met and we had all of these matching tattoos had like matching glasses. We looked in. I love that. I love it. So please get them.
Okay. Okay. I will. And I'll tag you in a photo when I do it. I'm going to wait a bit. I'm too scared to get tattoos right now because I actually had a tattoo get infected. Out of all the tattoos I've gotten, the last one I got actually did get infected, and it was terrifying. Like, it was such a spooky thing to have happen, and I still don't know how it happened. Like, again, I have over I'm in the double digits here, but this one, it just something went wrong, and I just don't want to deal with that right now during a pandemic. And I don't want a reason to go to the doctor right now, so I've held off on tattoos, but let me tell you, I've got a few in the works. And this one, I got this tattoo actually in Red Deer, the little triangle on my finger. I got it in Red Deer because when my friend Dana Beeler and I, we were on tour and we got into town early and we thought, do we go thrift store shopping or do we try to get a tattoo? And we went and got tattoos. So I don't want to get it removed because she has a triangle on one of her hands. So that'd be kind of rude.
I've also gotten a tattoo in Red Deer.
Really?
Yeah, I got this mixtape tattoo that was commemorative of my first full-length album. And it was I was just in town and I thought, I kind of want to get a tattoo.
What is it with Red Deer?
I don't know. That's so funny.
That's very good. I can't remember the name of the shop that we went to, but I would just be so over the moon if it was the same shop. When you are on tour, do you have like a go-to record, or well, not record, you know, no one's driving around with a record player in their car, but like a go-to album or go-to playlist? And like, are you the one usually setting the tone, like deciding the playlist, or are you passing that off?
I think I do tend to manage the playlist, because I think I'm the one who takes the lead on most things with my band, of course. And also I'm the one who has the most fluctuating moods. So I tend to, and also I'm just, yeah, I'm the leader. I'm the one who does the music. And also, yeah. I think I'm really good at like mixtapes, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I'm really, I guess I do work as a radio host and create 1 hour playlists like every week. So that's a big part of it too. But yeah. And it's funny because I switch between two significantly different, but two main vibes. Sometimes I feel like I listen to a type of music because I need, it's like candy in a way. It's like something that helps me just sort of get my energy up. The same kind of stuff that I would work out to. So sometimes it's like crazy, just like pop music. That's it. We're listening to like, what do I have on there? I have Slow Hands on there. I have, there's Katy Perry on there. There's Ariana Grande. Like it is like, it's not the kind of music that I want to be listening to all the time, but it's that stuff that like gives you a burst of energy. And that's mostly for when I'm just like feeling kind of down. But another music that I listen to when I'm in that space is like, I would say like a 70s playlist. Is something that I tend to play often. And then we listen to a lot of Wolfpack, and what else? We listen to a lot of Begonia.
Yeah, she's so great.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm somebody who listens to, like, knows every single word to every single Fiona Apple song. So every once in a while, I'll sneak one of those in there. But generally, it's like, it's podcasts, it's 70s music, or it's pop music, or it's like kind of, you know, nerdy, sort of funky, recent music.
Nice. Yeah. There's a stretch of highway between Edmonton and North Battleford, I'd say, that I associate with Fiona Apple's Idler the Wheel, that record. Because I was actually, this is like a lifetime ago, a very, very long time ago, I was seeing somebody in Edmonton. So I used to drive up there sometimes to go visit him. And during that time, I had borrowed that CD from the Moose Jaw Public Library. And I don't drive very much right now, of course, for obvious reasons, but I really one thing I love about touring is touring with a CD. You get the CDs and you just get to build a relationship with that album, you know? You're not listening to just the single, you're not shuffling anything. You're listening to that record and you get to know the track listing by heart. And I love that when you get to know an album that intimately. And for me personally, that comes through driving and having access to compact discs, really.
Mm. Yeah, I do miss that too. And I was thinking about how it's hard for me to find a lot of new music these days. I think when I was younger, I used to sit and just listen to an album in a way that I haven't done in a very long time. Because I had the time to just sit and read through the liner notes and like memorize the words to the songs and sing them over and over again. And I haven't done that in a very long time. Very long time. Yeah, I miss that.
And I guess like you can have a similar experience maybe with putting on a record. But even for me, like I feel like if I'm putting on a record at home, I'm usually still doing something. I'm not just sitting there, and actively listening, where I feel like that active listening really happens in the vehicle. Also, something else I really miss about touring is and I've been pretty good about connecting with my friends still during this, and I'm a big phone chat person, but I miss the heart to hearts. There's something so special about being in a vehicle, driving forward, and I feel like people open up in a way that they wouldn't normally if you were not driving. I don't know. There's something about being in a car. I don't know anything about it, like the science behind it. Maybe this is just me going off of a feeling, but I miss those heart-to-hearts, those late-night heart-to-hearts when you're driving after a gig. I miss getting in the car and talking about how did everyone think that show went.
Oh, good. You do that too.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, when I started playing with Bears, they have a system that I thought was really fun and we've kind of incorporated. They do the, they hold their thumbs up. So it could either be, you know, thumbs down or somewhere in the middle. That's their rating system. And I really, I thought that was pretty cool. But they do it right after the show. Or I know some people, they won't talk about the gig until the next day. For me, I want to talk about it right away.
Yeah. And I might be a little bit, like I said, I have high expectations of myself. Therefore, I do that with other people around me. So I do tend to give out quick notes after. It's not very nice, but I'm like, hey, listen, just so you remember this now, you missed this and you missed that. So just letting you know for next time.
I think that's good. I don't think that's mean. I think that's good. I think I do the opposite. I feel like where I don't give people enough guidance or like or suggestions or let people know really what I want. I've been guilty of that, like not giving enough direction. I'm not a very good band leader, I don't think. And also I get so excited that I forget. Like I forget shows. Like unless like I get so, I'm like a puppy up there. Hmm. And then I get off stage and I go, what happened? And that's when I look at Darnell, because Darnell's got the best memory. And he'll tell me like how the show went. You know, I just
it's a beautiful indicator of you being in the moment of what's happening. I have to get out of my head sometimes when I'm on stage because I'm analyzing the things that are going on behind me and around me instead of like really being in that moment. And so I think that's probably better, you know, that you're really in it.
I don't know. It's we go to some weird places sometimes, and I miss going to those weird places with my band. And actually, I've been watching this one show. It's a game show out of the UK, and I just, it's so wacky, and it's like, I want my live show to be more like a game show, like when we're allowed to do this again. I want to incorporate more bits into the show. I have really just, I can't swear, but my give a is gone, you know. I just want to go for it.
That sounds amazing. It sounds so free. And then you think about the way I do my shows now is I'm constantly like, I do the first set with the band, second set, I start solo, then do the trio, and then come back to the band. And, you know, the mood is constantly changing, but it's just, you want to keep people's attention. You don't want people to ever get bored when they're watching you. So it's like, when I'm up there, I'm like, how, I'm also an entertainer. I know I'm a singer-songwriter, and I'm like authentically being me, but like, how do I keep everybody here with me and having fun? Like, I tell a lot of jokes and I make fun of Brayden and Brennan all the time. Like it's, and I'm not really telling jokes. I'm more just like, you know, being cheeky, but like, it's just really important to me that everybody is kind of connected and feeling it. Cause then when you're singing, that just makes that connection like, so it's just so real.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So the idea of like, that blows my mind. A game show type thing.
Basically, I just want everybody to be wearing bad suits and we'll have like cream pies or something. Like it's gonna be wacky. I'm just I don't know. Am I joking? Kaylee, this has been so much fun. We actually have to wrap it up. Can you believe it?
Okay.
Time flies. Time flies when you're talking about touring and friendship and dog love. It's been such a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Nice to chat and force friendship on you.
Did you hear that? Did I hear that correctly? Did I hear Kaylee Cardinal use the F word? Friendship? To me? Kaylee, thank you so much for being such an amazing guest. I had so much fun chatting with you, and I encourage everybody to visit KayleeCardinal.com, listen to her music, buy her music. You will not be disappointed. You've been listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. The Creative City Center is supported by the Canada Council for the Arts, the Saskatchewan Arts Board, now known as Sask Arts, the City of Regina, Canadian Heritage, and Creative Saskatchewan. This podcast is made possible because of the ongoing support of these agencies in spite of everything that's going on in this pandemic-fatigued world we live in. Special thank you to the Garys for their music. The Creative City Center is a community-based art center that used to present about 200 events a year and gave a lot of emerging artists a place to start out. Now they are a home for a lot of online productions, so check out creativecitycenter.ca to see what else they're cooking up besides all of this Pep and Ched with me, Megan Nash. Support live music, folks, no matter what form it's served up in. Okay, bye-bye.